them up, we're off of this line somewhere.
Maybe it wasn't on there. I don't know what this will sound like. Maybe it'll be all right. You know, Sheila and I were heading home from church on a Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago, and we got down Highway 100, and I looked off to the left, which was eastward. Boy, it was the most beautiful cloud gathering over there, and somehow or another it lit up like the sun was there, but the sun was over here. And I pointed out to Sheila, made me think about when the Lord comes. And when we're caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, it's going to be something else. And it'll be a wonderful time. And I got the assurance in God's Word that He's coming. And that day may be today. Don't know. But in 2 Chronicles, it's an interesting book. It repeatedly tells us as God's children that people that forsake Him, that He'll withdraw His blessings. But if we trust Him and be obedient to Him, He can restore that He took away. And with that in mind, I want us to look tonight at one of the great leaders of Israel, Solomon. He was a great leader politically and spiritually. It'd be wonderful if we had the same in the United States today, wouldn't it? America is looking for a political leader. We need somebody to lead us spiritually in our nation today. And history has proven itself that a nation will rise or fall on leadership. And I believe with all my heart that's why America is in such a mess today. And I'm glad we got the president we got. Let me just go ahead and say that. Could be a whole lot worse, in other words. And let me say about a church. Same goes for a church. A church will rise and fall by leadership. But over in your Bibles, you'll find, and just to give you just a little bit of background before we read any scripture right here, in chapter number 5, Solomon has been allowed to build the temple. Great and beautiful place. And here in chapter number 5, the priests, the Levites, they bring the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. And everything is set up in order as God would have it. And the priests came in, the Ark, they had music, they had instruments, everything was coming to place. It's just exactly the way that God would have it to do. Verse number 13, it says, "It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, 'For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever,' that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord." Sound like they knew a little something about worship. Amen. Sound like we could learn a little something from them, don't it? Amen. They came together with thanksgiving and praise, thanking God for His many blessings. We're blessed in America today, in our homes across this country today, more than our forefathers were, yet they were more thankful than we are. Amen. We better take a little inventory in our lives and start thanking God for what He's done for us. Amen. Because the same God that's blessed us today, He can pull His blessings off of us tomorrow. So the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Now you'll notice that Solomon in chapter 6, he has a sermon, so to speak, right here. He begins to tell the people the things that God has done. And then moving on down to verse number 12, Solomon had an altar built there, and it gives you 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet and 3 cubits tall that he got up on. The Bible says that he stood upon that in the midst of the whole congregation of Israel there. And you know what he did? He bowed upon his knees and he began to pray. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful today if our president and some of the leaders of our country could get on national TV and just fall on their face and ask God for His guidance and His help and His blessings on America. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to see? Amen. God would honor that, no doubt about it. But Solomon was a godly man, and he wanted to please God, and he wanted to lead God's people, and God gave him wisdom, and God gave him blessings to do so. Now he begins to pray, and he begins to talk to God, and ask God some things. And, you know, Solomon knew, he was a wise man. He knew about people. He knew how people could go out and get into sin, and God would remove the blessings from them. And God would begin to chastise. But Solomon began to pray, and he laid out all these different sins. Boy, he names a great number of them down through this chapter right here. He says, God, if they'll humble themselves, if they turn back to you, if they ask for forgiveness, God, would you please forgive them? Would you please keep your hand upon them and bless God if they'll just turn back to you? Many, many times down through here, he has that to say. Now, in chapter number 7 right here, the Bible says this. Now, when Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. You know what we need to do? We need to get back to some old-time Holy Ghost praying. Amen. And desire the fire of God to fall in the house of God and in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. God will honor the things of this book right here. Amen. You want more of God in your life? Hey, He's willing to give it to you. If you want the fire of God to burn down in your heart and in your life, you want to do more for God, you want to feel more of God and see more of God do things, then listen, pray. Pray. Ask God for it. We want to be spectators too often and not participators. Amen. Well, wasn't it a blessing last Sunday when God moved in this place and just took the reins of the service and began to move from breast to breast by the Holy Ghost upon people? That was a blessing to me. I need that. You need it. Our children need it. Amen. We don't need to have these dead, dry services and bring our kids in here and be just a dried up place. We need God to move. And it's up to you and I. Amen. Now let's move on just a little bit further. And all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house. They bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Now Solomon has prayed. The glory of the Lord has filled the house. For 7 days, they had a meeting. We can't take but an hour of it, can we? 7 days, the glory of the Lord was upon them. Boy, what a time they had. You read this chapter sometime and see what all took place right there. But now I want you to notice something else. In verse number 10 of chapter number 7, and on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Wouldn't it be something if we could just all leave here glad and happy and smiling and just glad we know the Lord? Amen. God wants to give us something when we come to His house. He wants to bless us. Now, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his house he prosperously effected. Verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I've heard thy prayer. I've chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, there be no rain. Or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that's made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Brother Conrad, would you pray for us tonight? Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Lord, help us. Oh, Lord. Amen. You can be seated tonight. If I were to ask you tonight, if we could request of God anything for our country, I believe we could all think of some things that we'd like to see. If we desired to have a greater America, I bet you everybody in the house would say, yes, I want it for my family, for my children, for generations to come. And I want to preach tonight out of verse number 14. Real familiar. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. I want to preach on this thought tonight. How to make America great again. Amen. Is that phrase catchy or not? Amen. How to make America great again. You know, our president's caught a lot of slack about that phrase right there, and they call him a racist, but President Ronald Reagan used it when he was running for office. Bill Clinton used it when he was running. Hillary Clinton used it when she was running. Barack Obama used it when he was running. But now, the liberals are ridiculing our president for using the same phrase. But listen, there is a way that we can make America great again. This is God's word, and I stand upon the promises of God tonight. If my people, which are called by my name, hey, he lays out some things right here, and you know, Bible principles are true and still stand today. Amen. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's the truth, ain't it? Amen? Amen. Listen tonight. Listen to this right here in Psalms 9 and 17. The Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell in every nation that forgets God. We live in a nation today where the liberals want to push God out. Hey, listen, now we're in a minority today. No doubt about that, but listen, we can take a stand. We got God on our side, and the Bible says if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. There's some things that we can do. Hey, in our lives, friend, there's some things that we ought not to put up with. Amen. I want you to notice something right here. Also in Galatians chapter number 6, the Bible says this, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's some things I want to know. Hey, I want you to know tonight that there's some things that we can do. Hey, for the generation that comes along behind us, there's some things that God wants us to do to help pave a way for them. Amen? Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, if, that's a big word right there, isn't it? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. You know, one of the key words in this verse right here is pray, 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 seeking God's face. Can I ask you tonight, how's your spiritual life? How's your spiritual life? Think about it. How's your relationship to God? How's your relationship to the world and the things of this old world? God ought to be first in our life. It is so important in the day that we live for Christians to be Christians, for us to be in the will of God and doing the will of God. He has a perfect will for you and I. He has duties and things that we can do to make this a better world. Amen. To make this a better church. We better be seeking His face. As he says right here in this verse, seek my face, he says. Now, I want you to notice something. America's problem today is not political. It's not political. Yet man is seeking a political solution to all the problems that America has. The whole world's problem is not political. It is spiritual. Spiritual. There's some spiritual deficiencies in America today. Is there any in your home? Any in your life today? Now listen, there's some hard things in this Bible right here. This Bible cuts me. This Bible lets me see myself as God sees me. This Bible rebukes me. This Bible corrects me. This Bible instructs me. And that's what God intended for it to do for all of us. I'm saying today, how to make America great again. God, what can I do? What can I do? That ought to be the question that we ought to be asking today. Can God bless America? I say He can. I say He can. Notice this in this verse right here. I want you to notice there's a recognized problem. Problem. It's a personal problem. He says, if my people, who is that? Is that the person sitting next to you? Is that your neighbor down the road? I say it's me. And I say it's you. God's got something to say to me. He's got something to say to you tonight. Let's give ear to what God has to say. We need to recognize the problems in our life. And we all got problems. Amen. We're flesh. We're flesh. We eat up with flesh. And each day of our lives, there's a battle that goes on between the flesh and the spirit. And I'm afraid in our lives that we get so caught up in the things of the world that God is on the back burner. The things of God's on the back burner until Sunday morning. We'll go give God an hour. Maybe on Sunday morning. Some folks will do it even on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Ain't that amazing? That's amazing, isn't it? We need to recognize our personal problems. First of all, one of our big problems is our carnality. We become carnal. Amen. We get our priorities in the wrong place. Amen. I'm just as guilty as anybody. Listen to me, folks. Tonight, we need to get our interest in our priorities in order because these are the last days. Hey, the Bible describes the day that we live as the day of apostasy. You know what that means? It means a falling away. And he ain't talking about lost people. He's talking about saved people. Saved people. In the day that we live, there's a time of a falling away, of carnality and things of the world taking place in our lives of God. Could that be your problem tonight? Carnal Christians. Carnal Christians can accomplish nothing. Nothing. But not only carnality, but compromise. Compromise. Weakness of the flesh. Just as I said, you know, we have to crucify this flesh. Our flesh is wicked. Wicked. Our flesh it does not like the things of God. The spiritual man inside of you, if you've been born again, does. He wants to do the things of God. He wants you to live for God. But the flesh wants to take you to the world. The flesh wants to draw you into sin. Amen. We're prone to sin. We're prone to turn our backs on God. John said, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. Amen. So there's some things, hey, that we better recognize the problems in our life. One is carnality, one is compromise. Weakness of the flesh. The lust of this old world. The wiles of the devil. We battle it every day in our lives. It's more prevalent today in our society today. The things that the devil has to offer, the things that the world has to offer, is greater than it's ever been to mankind. God help our children coming up in this old world today. Wickedness. Used to be when you turned on the TV, you might see a good show like Gunsmoke. Leave It to Beaver. Some of them old shows, you know, that you wouldn't ashamed to sit down with your kids and watch. Amen? You turn on things on TV now and you draw up in a knot, wondering what's going to come on the screen next. Well, your little old kids are sitting there. God help us. But wickedness is in high places today. We become carnal, we become compromised, but here's one for you. I'm talking about we got to recognize our problems. We become calloused. Calloused. Hardened. You know what we become calloused to? We become calloused to sin. Things that used to make folks blush doesn't bother folks no more. Things that people used to be ashamed of, not ashamed of it anymore. We've become callous to sin. Things that our forefathers wouldn't have put up with, we accept it now. Amen. It's in our society. And it creeps in little by little by little. But it's here. We become sin hardened. We become sermon hardened. Boy, I tell you, in this church right here, in this pulpit right here, there's been some of the greatest men of God that's ever walked upon this earth to stand right here before you and preach to you. But you know what happens a lot of times? Our mind gets out yonder in the world somewhere. Our heart is hardened to the sermon. Oh, he's not preaching to me. He's preaching to somebody else. We'll go out of here just like we come in. When God intends for the Word of God to do something in our heart and in our life. We become sermon hardened. We become Scripture hardened. This Bible right here, as I said a while ago, it'll cut you. It'll rebuke you. It'll reprove you. It'll correct you. It'll instruct you. It'll encourage you. It'll help you if you can get it down. But we become hardened to the Scriptures. You know what God was saying right here to Solomon? If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. When God's word goes to cutting on us and convicting us, it ought to bring humility. Amen. It ought to bring humility and it ought to produce obedience in our life. But we have an option. We can harden our heart against the Scriptures, against the sermons that are preached. And we can go our own way. And you know what? You'll get more callous and more callous and more callous and the Word of God and the Scriptures of God will have no effect in your life. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm saved. But how hard-hearted am I? Think about it. Recognizing our problems, we become service-hardened. Nobody wants to do anything for God. Too busy. Ain't got time. Brother Randy has a hard time getting teachers sometimes. Listen, we've got a short time in this life. Life is short. Life is like a vapor. And if you're saved, if you're born again tonight, you are so honored. You're so honored to be a child of God. There's so many people out here in this world today that does not know the Lord as Savior. You're so blessed to be able to say, I've been born again. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Serve Him. Serve Him while you have health and strength and life and breath. Do something for God. Any sacrifice you make, He'll reward you tenfold for it, 100-fold. You can't beat the blessings of God. And He'll bless you if you'll serve Him. We got to recognize our problem. No shame. No fear of God anymore. That's some problems. That's problems in our life. The fear of God's left our nation. People don't mind nowadays. They don't mind putting Christians down. They don't mind putting God down. Those that, Christianity is under attack today. There was a time when people reverenced the house of God that was lost. I mean, they had respect for a man of God and for the house of God and the things of God. I did when I was lost. I mean, a church house scared me. And to see a man of God coming toward me, it scared me. I feared God. I knew if I died, I'd go to hell. And I had a fear about me of that. It's missing today in our society. People are dying and going to hell by the millions. They've just been blinded by the devil, I guess, in unbelief. But we as the saved, we need to get some things fixed in our life. Our problems. Get back to serving God. Recognize our problem, but then there's a reaping that's promised. A reaping that's promised. He says up here in verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain. Or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. We're going to reap what we sow. These promises right here are for people of disobedience. These promises right here are for people that have turned their back on God. He said, I'll shut up heaven. I'll command the locusts to devour. Can I ask you a question tonight? Have you ever come to church with sin in your life? And it was so dry. Such a burden that you just got nothing out of it. Heaven was shut up against you because of sin. God will do that until we get our heart right. And in this reaping that's promised right here, I want to say about America today, I believe it with all my heart, there's a spirit of darkness over our country today. Because of the ungodliness that goes on here and because there's so many Christ haters and God rejectors trying to take God totally out of our society. Let me show you what I mean right here in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5. Listen to what the Bible says right here. Woe unto them that call evil good. And good evil. that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's where we're at in America today. Amen. There's so many things in our society today that God says is an abomination, that He says is a sin, that has so crept into our country today and has been so accepted. It's a spirit of darkness. It's no wonder today that there's so many kids that don't even know if they're a boy or a girl. Amen. It's been told me that in California now on a birth certificate, you don't even have to put the gender. You don't have to put the sex, male or female, on there anymore. Let them decide when they get a little older what they want to be. How stupid is that? How ungodly is that? This society has gone crazy. It's crazy. A spirit of darkness, I believe. Satan is devouring people right and left. He's going about as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour, and he's doing his job. He's doing a good job. He's got Washington under his thumb for the most part. Very few godly men up there leading our nation. Amen. If the godly folks up there outnumbered the ungodly, there'd be some changes made. Amen. The reaping that's promised, there is a law of sin and death. Amen. The law of sin and death. And I preached a message here on a Wednesday night one time about America's deathbed. And I put an 8-foot folding table up here and I brought a flag in here, United States flag, that laid over my dad's coffin, and I spread it out over that and I put a pillow on the one end. And I scared some folks, I think. It looked like a coffin. America's on her deathbed, I believe. Have you ever seen anybody on their deathbed when their consciousness is beginning to leave them? They're not aware of things around them anymore? That's the state of our country today. But it's within our power, I believe, as the people of God, to pray and change things for the generation following us. There's a problem we need to recognize. There's some promises that we'll reap. But there's a recipe that's personal. If my people, can I ask you before I go any further, are you a child of God? Do you know that you're a child of God tonight? You know you've been born again? God's got something to say to you. If my people, which are called by my name, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What an honor. What a privilege to be a child of God. But He has something else to say to us right here. We got to hear the Word of God and we got to heed the Word of God. It's one thing to be a hearer of the Word, but it's another thing to be a doer of the Word of God. I can come in here and listen to sermon after sermon and sermon after sermon. Hey, listen to me till I know every page of this book right here. But if I don't apply it to my life, if I don't heed what it says to me, it'll do me no good. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. There's your first step. Humble yourself. When you get hard-hearted and stiff-necked, that's hard to do. God wants you to humble yourself. And I tell you what He can do. He can humble you. He can bring you flat to your face. He can put some tears in your eyes. He can break your heart. But He wants you to look at yourself and examine yourself and judge yourself and humble yourself. It's what's missing in our lives today. We don't have no fear of God. We have no shame for sin. We ought to be brokenhearted for sin in our life. We ought to be brokenhearted for what it's doing in homes and families, lives today. Humble themselves, and here's that word, pray. 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 What a privilege, Brother David, to know that God has saved us and indwells us and has given us the honor of entering into the throne room of grace. And we're able to talk to God. We're able to pray to God. We're able to obtain mercy there at the throne of grace and find grace to help us in time of need. And I promise you one thing, there's going to be some needs in your life that man can't fix. There's going to be some times in your life that you're going to need God, you're going to need His mercy, you're going to need His grace in your life. And thank God He's given us just exactly what we need. And He's calling upon us right here in this Scripture to humble ourselves and pray, pray, pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for our children. Pray for our church and our families. Pray. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Do you take time to pray? I'm talking about effectual, fervent prayer. Humble prayer. Hey, when's the last time you prayed with tears for a lost loved one? When's the last time you fell on your face and you know that somebody's dying and going to a devil's hell if God don't reach them and you've got a burden for them? When's the last time? God help us. I feel like we've lost our burden for lost souls. Amen. Amen. When I was a kid, when I was a child, I seen mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas gather around the altar. It wasn't no silent prayer time. They cried and they begged and they called names of children, of grandchildren, of brothers and sisters. God save them. God convict them. God draw them. That's what God wants. That's what He wants. If they'll humble themselves and pray and seek My face, He wants you to draw nigh to Him. He wants to hear from you. Notice this now, and I'll be closing shortly. He said, then. See, there's some things we got to do to get to this then. We got to humble ourselves. We got to pray. We got to get right with God. Amen. We got to see ourselves as God sees us. We got to admit what's wrong with me. He says, then. You know, God's interested in holiness. Amen. He says, turn from their wicked ways. Uh-oh. You know what's wrong with me and you? We got wicked ways. Might as well admit it. God knows all about it. Amen. He didn't say, pray, seek My face, and continue in your wicked ways, but He said, turn. Turn from your wicked ways. That's something missing today is repentance. Godly sorry of our sins. Because we become callous, because we become hard-hearted. The Scriptures are of none effect. Sermons are of none effect. Lord, help us. God, help us. We're wicked. I didn't say it. God said it. God says it. He's interested in our holiness, not our happiness. Amen. But I believe if we'll live a holy, consecrated life, it'll be happiness. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, listen to this. He said, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. How to make America great again. There it is in one verse. And you know who it hinges upon? God's people. Not on President Trump. Not on all these folks that's got all these ideas of how they're going to fix everything. They can do nothing. They can do nothing. God's in control. And God, He said, I've chosen and sanctified this house that my name be there forever. My eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. He said, verse 15, my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that's made in this place. You know what God's doing right now? He's a looking, He's a listening, and He wants to hear some praying. He wants to hear some praying and asking for His blessings, asking for His help, asking for His forgiveness of our wickedness and our sins. You know, America needs heaven to bless. And only heaven can fix America. Only heaven can fix our heart, our homes, our church, our country. I challenge you tonight to pray. Sister Sherry, I'm on.